by NEC final then.
It was very nice of Charlie to be to EGT to mail a copy of that article to me, Glenn, and Wesley. And now you've got the master copy in Ham Radio Magazine. We've also got a Xerox copy of the whole article. So Glenn, being our local magnetic expert, plus whatever else we can come up with as to how it all works, we're eventually going to understand magnetics. And as John and Wesley finish their research, as they continue their research, they ain't going to finish it. As they continue their research, their ongoing research, we're going to learn more and more about magnetics, which is quite a mystery to most ham radio operators and most engineers. What really goes on with a magnetic field? And how does a magnet do that? Magic. Bye-bye, you all. K2RAW clear.
Good night, Dick. Good night, Mel. Thank you very much for your efforts. And have fun with the magnet stick.
But remember, don't swallow them. Good night, Dick. Good night, Mel. KC2QIQ. 73s.
Night.
Yeah, I was kind of amazed that Alan thought that swallowing magnets being dangerous was unlikely. Turns out there's very specific warnings on some of the websites, among other places, saying, make sure you don't let a child swallow one of those. They can get into an awful lot of trouble.
Dick, I even take great caution when my 11 and 12-year-old granddaughter and grandson play with them because of their fingers, because of the strain. They just got to watch them. They're really not for children. KC2WGB.
It's hard to believe that a magnet that strong can be made. And can you imagine some of these zillion Tesla-type superconducting magnets that are being used on particle accelerators and whatever? There are magnetic fields and there are magnetic fields. And there are magnetic stars, magnetars, that are way beyond that. Wild stuff. We're eventually going to understand a little more of it says here.
Hey, Dick, I think with young children, watching them is like a 24-hour, round-the-clock job, because it's not only magnets you have to worry about, it's just about everything. It's amazing we all made it to this age, isn't it? KC2QIQ.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you guys. I know Mel and I have discussed the fact that a couple of the dumb things we've done in our youth could have easily killed us. We're kind of happy we're here.
Only a couple?
Those are the ones that I can count right away, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. My God, some of the crazy-ass things I've done in my life. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's a good thing. I've witnessed my sons doing a few of those kinds of things as well, and lived to tell about it, so it's good. I mean, ones that never ended up in a hospital run because nothing happened, thank God.
Hello, Charlie. Who's the LaBelle?
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, first of all, you got my handle, QRZ, car. And do I have an idea for you guys or for anybody for a Nobel Prize research? And that is in 1994 when I presented it on the AOL Romanian section. They shut off the Romanian section, the only section shut off. So if the scientists don't want to do it, fine, or don't want me to say it, fine. I give you one suggestion. What's going on with a straight wire antenna is more electric and magnetic. Goodbye.
We're going to have to give you an opportunity next weekend, Alex, to give you to explain more of that if you want to. You had a couple of dropouts, yes, from the from QRZ.com, I found out your name is Alex. I think you told me during the dropout you would like to be called something else. What would you like to be called, ZGZ?
So my name is Sonyi. It's a Hungarian name, and that's what I'm using on the handbands. And that's the ideas. I'm not going to give anything to humanity anymore, because after 1994, something happened to shut me out. So I said, fuck. So 73 to everybody. This is Q. Zulu signing out and clear.
Bye. it out.
Dick, when we have an eyeball QSO, I'm going to have to talk to you about explosives. That'll be the thing to talk about.
You guys got an explosive idea. Cool, boy.
You got to go. I'm going to let you go. No, that was one of my previous hobbies.
You like big bangs?
Absolutely. Have a great night, everybody, on the net. And the KC2WGP will be clear.
Report number 1733, the release date of Friday, October 29th, 2010, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio assists in the wake of severe weather in both Thailand and the United States. A last-minute delay in the Sable Island D expedition due to aircraft safety concern. Radio Uganda refuses to leave the ham radio-only portion of 40 meters, and lead-free electronic components may soon be a reality. Find out details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1733, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Ham radio has come to the aid of flood-stricken Thailand. Norm Seeley, KI7UP, has more.
Thailand's Amateur Radio Society, RAST, reports that amateur radio operators in two flood-stricken areas of Thailand have been putting their communications capabilities to good use, with members helping authorities setting up a communications center using the call sign HS3AN. It has been working closely with government agencies relaying details about emergency situations and explaining the problems being faced to officials and relief workers so that action to assist people can be taken. The president of one of the flood-stricken amateur radio associations, HS4XU, relates that radio amateurs have pitched in with soldiers, rescue volunteers, and workers from various foundations by helping flood-stricken people with food and to ferry expectant mothers to hospitals. The club station, HS3AN, has also been coordinating relief efforts with the help of other amateur radio communication centers based in three other cities. The operators at these locations have also been providing information to people traveling to and from flood-stricken areas. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Norm Seeley, AI7UP, following the story from Scottsdale, Arizona.
There are over 100,000 ham radio operators in Thailand. Many are involved with providing emergency communications. Updates on this story are online at www.qsl.net/rat. Amateur radio operators across the Midwest United States went on alert on Tuesday, October 26th, to report on severe weather and damaged conditions. This, as a severe early autumn storm pounded the area. According to an ARRL press release, most of those providing service were part of the National Weather Service's Skywarn program. This is a group of highly trained radio amateurs nationwide who provide eyewitness reports of ground conditions and verification of radar assessments. From Kentucky to Michigan, hundreds of amateur radio volunteers quickly turned their hobby into radio networks allowing emergency responders to have accurate information of conditions. Mike Corey is the Emergency Preparedness Manager for the ARRL. According to Corey, there was great need for hams with Skywarn, especially around Indiana. They're giving the National Weather Service real-time ground-level confirmations was definitely appreciated. As severe weather continues in some areas, hams in those venues remain on the alert. On Wednesday, October 27th, Alabama weathercaster James Spann, WO4W, reported via Twitter and Facebook, that a new tornado watch had been issued for many counties south and east of the city of Birmingham. These included Autauga, Bibb, Chambers, Chilton, Talladega, and Tallapoosa, to name just a few. That warning was to be in effect until 7 p.m. in the evening. When alerts such as this are issued in the Birmingham area, activation of Skywarn is a usual part of any severe weather watch. According to WO4W, Skywarn was active all day on Tuesday the 26th, well into the evening hour. Some breaking news on the DX front. This with word that the long-awaited Sable Island de-expedition has been postponed due to transportation problems. According to Randy Rowe, N0TG, just prior to the team's planned departure to Sable Island, a major safety issue was discovered with a charter aircraft that requires repairs before it can fly. Rowe says that as of this writing, the needed parts have not yet been located. Also, it's estimated that acquiring these components and completing the repairs could take as much as 3 weeks or maybe longer. Rowe says that as a result, the operators will be returning to the United States to regroup and reschedule a return to Sable for another try. He adds that hopefully a new date can be announced in the near future. In the meantime, breaking news will be posted at the operations website, www.cy0dexpedition.com. We'll have more DX news later on in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. A shortwave operation on the African continent is playing hardball and is refusing to leave the amateur-only portion of 40 meters. This, even after notification from the government. Radio Uganda continues to operate on the amateur radio frequency of 7.195 megahertz. Following notification of 5X1JM, the Uganda Communications Commission informed Radio Uganda that the broadcaster is not permitted to use the frequency within the amateur radio exclusive spectrum. So far, the station has continued to use the frequency, and it's believed that maybe sometime before they move out. Observers say that at least the point has been made, and action initiated by the Ugandan government telecommunications authorities against the now unauthorized use of the frequency. In one other note, Uganda radio amateurs have been authorized by Uganda Communications Commission to use the band from 7.1 to 7.2 megahertz. A new 500 kilohertz distance record may have been set on Thursday, October 21st. This is when Roger Lapthorn, G3XBM, in Cambridge, England, was heard some 1,733 kilometers away in Finland by Paul Henrik, OH1LSQ. According to Lapthorn, he was operating on 500 kHz using the digital mode WSBR, commonly called Whisper in the ham radio world. Lapthorn says that quite unexpectedly, he began receiving a string of reports from OH1LSQ in Grid Square, KP03SD, at an astounding distance of 1,733 kilometers. Lapthorn said that to him these were amazing reports, pushing his best DX on the new band to new levels. That's because he runs only a few milliwatts of effective radiated power on that band. He also notes that his transmit antenna is a very simple vertical loop made with wire only 1 millimeter thick. Meantime, November 7th through the 14th marks Science Week in Ireland, and that nation's amateur radio clubs are being urged to take part. According to the IRTS Weekly News, clubs are encouraged to take advantage of Science Week to promote the hobby of putting on a special event station or partnering with some other local organizations in a Science Week project. More details are online now at www.scienceweek.ie. Turning to radio honors, so far 269 claims for the limited-time Wireless Institute of Australia's Century Award operating have been received and verified with certificates now issued. The 200th award went to VK3FMON of Axdale. According to the award sponsor, it's good to see the enthusiasm of entry-level foundation licensees, with some 30 having already qualified for the claimed award. The VK2AWA contest group is the latest club on the award list. Some 15 DX stations from Finland, India, Hawaii, Japan, New Zealand, Russia, and the USA are also recipients of the award. For details about the WIA Centenary Award, visit the WIA website, wia.org.au. The CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest is this weekend of October the 30th and 31st. And with this, contest director Bob Cox K3EST is highlighting the expanded award program for the assistant category. Specific changes include the following. First, all low-power and QRP assisted entrants will be specifically listed and eligible for awards, as is already the case for unassisted entry. Second, a band-by-band breakdown for all band-assisted World, Europe, and USA will be provided within the 2010 results. And lastly, the number of plaques available to assisted entrants will be increased to include Europe-assisted all-band and all-world-assisted single-band operations. Cox notes that this applies to both single-sideband and CW weekends. He also reminded contest participants that the log submission deadlines have been changed. SSB logs must be submitted by November 21st and CW logs by December 21st. We say good luck in the contest. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB2 QLP repeater serving Naples, Florida. The Federal Communications Commission has issued a $10,000 notice of apparent liability to monetary forfeiture to the New York State resident Vico Cherry. This on charges of allegedly operating an unlicensed radio transmitter on the frequency of 90.5 megahertz in the city of Spring Valley, New York. In the notice issued on October the 22nd, the FCC says that in response to the complaint, its agents from the Enforcement Bureau's New York office monitored the frequency of 90.5 megahertz on October the 26th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. On each one of these days, the agents observed a radio signal on 90.5 megahertz and used direction-finding techniques to locate the source of the transmissions to a business in Spring Valley. The agents also took field strength measurements on each of the 3 days and determined that the signal being broadcast exceeded the limits for operation under Part 15 of the Commission rules. October 29, 2009, the agents entered the premises where two businesses were located. The agents proceeded to the offices of PC Taxi and spoke to the dispatcher regarding the unauthorized transmission. The dispatcher said she would contact Vico Cherry, whom she identified as the owner of PC Taxi. Subsequently, Cherry arrived and the agents asked him about the unauthorized transmissions and asked to inspect the station. In response, Cherry led them to an adjacent room where the agents observed a radio station in operation. Next, Cherry led the agents to a roof where the FM broadcast antenna for the station was located. Finally, Cherry took the agents to an upstairs attic where the station's transmitter was located behind a stack of car tires and hidden from plain view. Cherry told the agents that he was allowing a friend to use the space to operate the station. At the agent's request, Cherry turned off the transmitter and also agreed to remove the antenna. On November the 4th, 2009, a New York office issued a notice of unlicensed operation for Cherry for transmissions on 90.5 megahertz. The New York office received a reply from Cherry's attorney, asserting that Cherry had no knowledge of the event, which the FCC had charged him. The attorney went on to state that during the 2 months prior to the agent's inspection, Cherry had allowed an unidentified person to use the space in his businesses where the radio station was located, but the letter failed to identify the friend by name. But the FCC did not buy the response. In issuing the $10,000 notice of apparent liability, the regulatory agency noted that taken together, the facts show that Cherry had control of the station and was involved in its general conduct or management. Also, the fact that someone else may have been involved in the station's operation does not make Cherry any less of a participant in its operation. The Commission then stated that pursuant to the forfeiture policy statement and Section 1.80 of the FCC rules, it concluded that Vico Cherry is apparently liable for a forfeiture in the amount of $10,000. Cherry was given the customary 30 days to pay the fine or appeal. A man allegedly trying to steal copper wire from a vacant building in Los Angeles, California, was electrocuted on Saturday, October 23rd. This after he tried to cut through a power distribution site he apparently thought was deactivated but was still alive. The incident took place at an electrical vault on the lot at 3064 Firestone Boulevard at the corner of Southgate Avenue. The lot was the former site of the Liberty Cable Company, but has been unoccupied for more than a year. According to police reports, The unidentified man was electrocuted and died at the scene. His female partner tried to pull him away from the vault when it caught fire and exploded, but the electrical current traveled through her body and she received severe burns. Southgate Police spokesperson, Lieutenant Keith Huck, said she was taken to a nearby St. Francis Medical Center for emergency treatment and then transferred Saturday night to the Grossman Burn Center. The couple's two small children were found in a truck about 15 feet from the incident, but were not injured. They were being held in protective custody by Children's Services until other family members can be found and notified. According to Lieutenant Huff, the explosion that took place at 4:14 p.m. knocked out power across the west side of Southgate. Electrical service was largely restored by the evening. With the economic slide during the recession continuing and California having one of the nation's highest unemployment rates, copper wire theft for resale, the scrap metal market remains a major criminal activity statewide. Anders Thorode, LA8LF in Drammen, Norway, reports over the VHF reflector that most of his Earth-Moon-Earth station equipment and all instrumentation was stolen in a recent burglary at his EME site. Also taken was most of his documentation, including his EME logs from 1987 onward and his log from the last ARRL 23-centimeter EME contest, during which he worked some 20 new stations. He's requesting that those who worked him as a new initial contact please contact him with their QSO information. Meanwhile, reports that some prized vintage radio equipment was stolen in a burglary at Germany's famed Cone Radio Museum. Among the pieces taken was an Otech Darling horn-type speaker dating back to 1926 and a Telefunken Arcolette receiver from 1927. Details of the stolen equipment can be found in this Google English and in PDF file at tinyurl.com/museumradiotheft. The museum asks that anyone seeing this equipment for sale on eBay or elsewhere should contact them immediately. You can reach the Cone Radio Museum by email to info@radiomuseum-cone.de. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has empowered the National Broadcasting Commission to approve licenses for the establishment of community radio stations. This without recourse to the Office of the Presidency. President Jonathan gave the directive while declaring open the 8th Biannual Conference of African Broadcasters. Represented by Vice President Nahami Sambo, the President stated that already the Federal Executive Council had considered and approved the guidelines proposed by the National Broadcasting Commission for the licensing of the community radio in Nigeria. In making this announcement, President Jonathan also urged journalists to maintain professional integrity by ensuring truth, balance, and fairness in their coverage of political activity. Some names in the news. First up is Alan Kent, K2UYH of West Windsor, New Jersey. This on becoming only the third operator worldwide to make EXCC on the 70-centimeter band. According to Kent, this feat was made possible by QSOs on October 5th, when Katz worked DK2ZF portable CE0, followed by TI2AEB on October the 18th. Both of these QSOs were made using the JT65B digital low-noise mode. And congratulations to Newsline's own Don Carlson, KQ6FM. This on his being named as recipient of the ARRL Pacific Division's 2010 Ham of the Year Award. And as Don told producer Bill Tastanek, W86ITF, it all came as a big surprise.
Well, I was sitting in the back of the room at the end of the banquet, and Bob Valio, our Pacific Division Director, W6RGG, called an old friend of mine who used to be a section manager I worked with in Santa Clara Valley section, Glenn Thomas, WD6W, to the front of the room. Well, it's been a very long day, and I was batting eyes, I hate to admit, in the back of the room, and all of a sudden I start hearing my resume, and I went, oh, geez, here we go, and, you know, heart goes up in throat. Next thing I knew, I was standing up there getting the Amateur Radio Operator of the Year Award for Pacific Division, an honor that just totally blew me away. I was very humbled, but very elated, and I thank the ARRL and the Pacific Division very dearly for this award.
KQ6FM received the surprise honor at the recent PacificCon 2010 ARRL Pacific Division Convention held in San Ramon, California. The award recognizes his many years contributing to the betterment of amateur radio, both nationally and in the Pacific Division. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Changes are coming to the 5 megahertz beacon chain. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, is here with the details.
During the summer, the 5 megahertz working group reviewed certain aspects of the 5 megs experiment and agreed a number of changes and improvements. These will be implemented over the next few months. The greatest change is that it's been decided to remove the 0.5 microsecond pulse sequence at the end of each beacon transmission. It's also been decided to build a new beacon for GB3RAL. The new design will incorporate a PSK31 transmission in place of the pulse sequence. The design of the other two 5 MHz beacons does not allow this addition. I'm Jeremy Booth, G4NJH, and you're tuned to the Amateur Radio Newsline.
A date for these changes has not been set, but it's hoped to complete the changes before the end of the year. Further information on the 5 MHz beacon, take your web browser to tinyurl.com/25ULJ75. The 6 and 10 Reporting Club is an informal group of radio amateurs, mostly from the UK, interested in propagation studies at frequencies around the high frequency to VHF boundary, mainly those who operate on the 6 and 10 meter amateur radio band. The club produces a monthly newsletter called the 6 and 10 Report that includes analysis of 28 megahertz propagation based on beacon monitoring. Also included is an ongoing analysis of 50 megahertz activity reports broken down by propagation mode, as well as reports and discussions on unusual propagation events. The 6 and 10 Report is edited and produced by Steve Reed, G0AEV, and Martin Harrison, G3USF, and is an activity of the RSGB's Propagation Studies Committee. The report is usually published online at g7kse.co.uk/6and10 about 5 to 6 weeks after the end of the month. Minio Wakita, JE9PEL, reports that the Japanese Amateur Radio League has been making necessary adjustments to the Fuji Oscar 29 satellite's operating schedule. This as the satellite enters a period of eclipses. These eclipses have reduced the power budget, requiring frequent analysis of available power aboard the satellite, and as such, FO-29 will be enabled only when the power budget allows. Meantime, the Japan Amateur Radio League requests that satellite operators access FO-29 with as little power as necessary to maintain communication. To assist in this, JE9PEL has posted calculations of the FO-29 eclipses online at tinyurl.com/269JMQ7. In DX, an international team of amateur radio operators are planned to activate Canton Island for 9 days starting April of 2011. An additional day may be added depending on the sailing time to the island. Transportation has been arranged, all licensees are assigned, and the permit is at its final stages. Call signs will be T31 Alpha. They plan to have 6 stations with 12 operators in activity on 160 through 10 meters using CW, single sideband, and RIDI. More online at T31Alpha.com. Members of the Sony Kyushu Amateur Radio Club will operate from the island of Danzhou in the East China Sea using the club call JF6ZNT. This between November 5th through the 7th. Activity will be on 80 through 10 meters using CW, single sideband, and RIDI. The island is one of today's most wanted in the Japanese Islands On the Air group. QSL via the Bureau or direct via each operator's home call sign as directed on the air. And here's a true rare one to listen for. OM2DX says he'll be on the air as 3W1M from Hanoi during the CQ Worldwide DX Single Sideband Contest October 31st and the 30th. He'll operate as a single operator, single band, 15-meter only entry. QSL via OM3JW, direct or via the Bureau. UY5ZZ will be on the air / YV7 from Margarita Island between October 26th and November the 7th. His activities on the HF band and will include the CQWWW DX single sideband contest and Ukrainian DX contest. You can QSL via his home call sign, DL5MFL, DL4MAQ, and DF9MV are planning to be active from Senegal from November the 8th to the 18th. The group will be the guests of 6W7RV at the Lee Kaleo Resort and will operate dedicated holiday style. A 6V7 call sign is being requested and will be made public as soon as it's available. You can QSL via DE0MST. Lastly, G7BXU says that he'll be spending the Christmas and New Year's holiday in Freetown in Sierra Leone. He'll be there between December the 19th to January the 7th. He hopes to take his FT-897 and the G5RV antenna with him. More details will be forthcoming in the next couple of weeks. Researchers in Europe may have found a way to make a lead-free piezoelectric that could pave the way to lead-free electronic components. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the details.
Research published back on October 4th by materials engineers from the University of Leeds could help pave the way towards 100% lead-free electronics. The work carried out at the United Kingdom Diamond Light Source Synchrotron facility reveals the potential of a new artificial material to replace lead-based ceramics in countless electronic devices ranging from digital cameras to hospital ultrasound scanners. You're probably aware that European regulations now bar the use of most lead-containing materials in electronic and electrical devices. Ceramic crystals known as piezoelectrics are currently exempt from these regulations, but this may change in the future, owing to the growing concerns over the disposal of lead-based materials. Piezoelectric materials generate an electrical field when pressure is applied, and vice versa. The most common piezoelectric material is a ceramic crystal called lead zirconium titanate, or PZT. Using high-intensity X-ray beams at the diamond-like source, the University of Leeds researchers have now shown that a simple lead-free ceramic could potentially do the same job as PZT. Tim Coleman, lead investigator for the project, noted that with the extreme conditions beamline at Diamond Light, his team was able to probe the interior of a lead-free ceramic known as potassium sodium bismuth titaninate. This to learn more about its piezoelectric properties. He noted that the researchers could see changes in the crystal structure actually happening as they applied an electrical field to this chemical structure, and that's a giant step forward in eliminating lead in electronic components worldwide. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak. I'm in the newsroom in Los Angeles, the City of Angels.
The Leeds team says that it'll continue to work at the Diamond facility to study the transformation inducted by an electric field at high speed and under various conditions using state-of-the-art detectors. Meanwhile, the results of the work so far have been published online in the Journal Applied Physics Letters. With thanks to Allen Labs, TAMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn, DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, and Southgate News, and Australia's WIA News. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Please don't forget that in association with the Newark Amateur Radio Society, that we're currently conducting a survey to determine where these weekly Amateur Radio Newsline reports are replayed on the air. If you are a bulletin station that transmits these weekly newscasts, or a listener who has the following information, we need you to supply us a call sign to the repeater or bulletin station making the transmission, the frequency, where it can be heard, the time and days of the week it's broadcast, the time zone, and the estimated audience you think it might have. Please email that information along with your name and call sign to arnschedule@gmail.com. Once again, That's ARN, as in Amateur Radio Newsline, arnschedule@gmail.com. And always, we thank you for your assistance in the service. And now with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010, all rights are reserved.
The time is 1:23 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Next day air, satellite delivery never showed up then. Does JR was busy searching through cargo bays.
Do they use dogs?
They use dogs and dogs and dogs.
Lots of Febreze yesterday, Richie.
Let's talk about other hams' wives.
What?
Febreze? What are you talking about? Oh, the misters were running?
Was there some kind of fest going on yesterday? Did I miss it?
Next, tonight at 8:30, welcome to the WQBL repeater.
It was a festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah, this is good, yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, the guys with the good stuff were making money yesterday, that's for sure. So lots of people walking out with boxes and antennas. All brand new stuff, though. Nobody's buying new stuff.
How much of it was ripped off and how much of it was paid for?
Ooh!
AJI there.
My buddy Gene was there. My buddy Gene's very happy because I purchased something from him. I couldn't turn it down. It was a good price.
He's a crook.
Can you get a discount? Aw, man. I got a really good price. And he's not a crook, man. I was looking at some of his prices there, Johnny. I'm telling you, man. You know, MSJ's got this contest key, a voice contest key. They sell it for $199. Everybody sells it for $199. Gene sells it for $179. So, I don't know what you're talking about there. And, I had an impulse buy on the way out the door.
I went to buy from him. I called him up. And I said, I want to get this radio. What do you sell it for? He tells me the price, and he goes... And I said to him, that's above everybody else. Why are you selling it so high? Well, I got overhead, I got this, I got that. Oh, come on, you're just a crook.
He's a little old man, leave him alone. Soon be dead. He'll look good.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you circle in the drain.
I'm sitting here because I don't know where I gotta go. Because... My parts that was supposed to be, you know, Saturday AM delivery never showed up. So I'm sitting here hanging out by Dunkin' Donuts by 19.
Oh, really now?
And what does this mean to Johnny and I? Absolutely nothing. And to BBN.
And to EB.
Because my parts didn't come from Yemen.
No FedEx and no UPS. Sorry.
No table grapes. So, Witchy, do you ever look at the price of something and you say you'd never buy one because it's too darn expensive? You like lots of things? Yeah. Yeah, well, I was putting the pennies aside there for a radio while I was eyeing. For a while, and I was almost there, but you know, still a couple $100 shy. And the impulse buy out the door was over at the KGI, not a crook table there, because I walked away with a brand spanking new high falutin, all band, all mode, ICOM radio.
Is this supposed to impress me? Am I supposed to think more of you now?
No, less of me, that's all. Just less of me.
Yes, of me. Think less of me.
You think any less of you, we won't see you here so short and do Zeddy B. Gary will tell you that. The only thing that's less of you is your cash. Tell him, Gary, tell him. I already did. If we diminish him at all... He's so short already, we won't see him. No one has any comments for that?
Yeah, you doubled with Rich before, and we didn't hear you say that. But thanks for clearing that up. I'm so happy now.
Morning, guys. Morning.
So if I were to watch those videos that you put up on Facebook, would I be interested at all? Depends upon whether you were interested in that kind of stuff at all. So it's entirely up to you. You know, if you want to waste your time, waste your time. Seeing that I didn't show any initial interest and I don't feel like wasting my time, and you have admitted that it will be a waste of time, I'm not going to waste my time. Everything on Facebook and all those places is a waste of time, so waste your time accordingly. However you want to waste your time, waste your time. If you want to waste your time looking at human anatomy, go waste your time looking at human anatomy. If you want to waste your time playing on Facebook, waste your time playing on Facebook. If you want to waste your time looking up things on Wikipedia or buying ham radio gear for discounted prices or expecting people to think more of you because you bought a ham piece of ham radio gear at a discounted price, then go right ahead. John, Evil John, over to you. And to PPX.
Wow. Oh, John. I bet you're out of breath, Winnie. Now, come on, that's not fair. Do you think that's fair? Just because they banned Facebook from USA, the banned website, comes up on my security websites of Never to Go On. You know, gotta be careful out there. They stop shipping packages, and the next thing you know, you'll get it on Facebook. Be careful, that's all I gotta say. HCB and 2EB. He's mad now. John.
Probably in Dunkin' Donuts trying to drown his sorrows in a cruller and a regular coffee. And he probably, since he has less in his wallet now, can't reach the mic.
His name is a cafe latte.
Pumpkin latte? Yeah, you're right, because he's not sitting on his wallet. He's probably can't see over the top of the dashboard now. Nothing of calling him up early in the morning. He should call his dispatcher up and wake him up.
Don't they have GPS in the truck? Can't they just, like, call it up and say, where is this place?
Johnny carries his GPS around with him to punch this thing up, but Johnny's more upset about his part that didn't arrive overnight air or whatever because of all this ruckus with the Yemenites. Yemen actually does something?
It's a big, big, big port. And they make, I think, explosives.
It absolutely, positively has to blow up overnight. Send it from Yemen. Seriousness aside, other than oil, what do any of those countries produce? Terrorists. That is of value to us. Oh, sand.
Petroleum. You said that. Plutonium.
Other than Israel that produces all sorts of things? Yes, other than Israel, which is a highly technological country, what do the other surrounding countries produce that is of value to the rest of the world other than oil? Fine carpets.
Hey, why'd they put the explosives on the plane and then let the plane take off and say, hey, now, where did I put those explosives? Oh, I put them on the plane. Oh, my God. Like, what do you think about this, like, after the plane takes off? I don't know. I think it's just one big plot, you know. I think they're doing this for the elections.
Seriously, though, if they knew there were explosives on the plane to warn the United States, why'd they let the plane take off? It was one of those things, oh, by the way.
Why is this package smoking?
Let it explode in the U.S., not here, this way we don't have to worry about it. You are correct, sir. And what was the fighter escort for? Did this plane get directed to land somewhere other than its original destination?
If it got hijacked, they would have shot it down if it got hijacked.
If it blew up, it would have taken the fighters with it. The fighters must have been in a trailing position or above, because none of the passengers even knew they were there. It's like that movie, the fighter jet was underneath the belly of the plane.
Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah, that's where they were. Those jets ain't got rockets that could take that plane out 2 miles away, 10 miles away. Come on.
The Elfin one must be in some long conversation with someone on his next cell.
No, he just doesn't want to talk. He's mad at Rich.
They only speak the truth.
JB2NQN Mobile.
Morning, Steve. How are you? Hand it over to the Elfin one if you can.
This is KB2EN, QN Mobile on the viaduct. Strange situation today. I have no cluster lights. The only lights that are lit up on the dashboard are the gear lights and the tripometer / odometer. So I guess I blew a fuse. So it's like I'm in stealth. I don't know what time it is. I can't tell the temperature. I don't know how much gas I have in the car. And I don't know why the Elfin one is mad at Richie either. Elfin one?
Steve, I don't think you got a fuse issue. Because it's a cluster assembly. A cluster assembly usually has one fuse. So, interesting. Anyway, I was on the phone, screaming. Now I'm cautious, because I was screaming at the morons. Anyway, change of plans. No law in Manhattan, off to the island of Misfit Toys. You didn't tell me who to pass it to, so whatever. W2HCB.
Yeah, like we can all really picture in our mind's eye the elf yelling at anybody. It'd be kind of like watching Papa Smurf yelling at Gargamel. If he's a little horse, that means he's a pony.
Hey.
Stallion? More like a gelding.
So what's ahead of you, Richie?
Because Johnny was trying to make everybody think that he was superior to all of us because he purchased some all-band, all-mode, blah-blah-blah radio from Gene on an impulse buy yesterday. And I'm like, so? Does that mean we're supposed to think more of you? And it's like, so, you know, he didn't get the ego boost in inflation that he was desperately seeking for spending, you know, piles of money on a piece of equipment that really means nothing to most of us.
John?
Yes?
You went to the fleas market yesterday?
Sheesh.
Did you shower afterwards? Not before, after.
The decon. Come on, Mr. Weir.
Tell me what you got there from Gene, and if I get a chubby, you know, I'll definitely tell you.
Well, I didn't go there with the intentions to buy that.
That's the disclaimer
radio that I bought. I went there with intentions to buy two things, and that was it. I was out the door. But when I saw the little sign that said special, and I saw the price, I said, ooh, I'll take one. I bought an Icon 7000, Steve.
Yeah, and he paid too much for it.
Okay, I'm starting to get a little stiffy. Keep going.
Everybody sells it for $14.99. I paid $11.99. And he even gave me the separation kit, the Nifty manual, and an Icon flashlight.
And I take it this is all to entice them to come to one of your flea markets?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No way.
I was not going to pay $1,500 for it. There was no way I was paying $1,500 for it. I just couldn't do it. I was walking out the door and I saw his sign. I said, "Are you for real?" He goes, "For you, I'll knock off another $100." I said, "Really?"
I don't know, Rachel. I am impressed.
I just
on these pieces of junk.
You have a chubby, Rich.
It really doesn't mean anything to me. It would be like you telling me that you bought a pile of rock.
Next line radio, good choice, good price.
Bought a pile of rocks for $1,100. Does that do anything for you?
There's a big difference between a pile of rocks and a nifty, spiffy manual.
I'm not saying I'm not happy for him. I hope he uses it and enjoys it in good health, but it means nothing to me.
So why are you so bitter?
Not bitter at all. It's just that he expects me to elevate my opinion of him and, like, you know, bow down and praise him because he spent $1,100 on something that I have absolutely no interest in. Nice. That's all nice. Use it in good health.
John, I want to have your baby. You know, these guys don't want to say it, but I will.
Choice good radio. Don't listen to the narrow-minded guy. I fired the thing up yesterday afternoon, okay, with the Audiomatic tuner. And let me tell you something. All that noise in that contest. Tell you, that filtering system in that radio is incredible, Steve. Knock out all the garbage you don't want to hear. It's great. I love it.
Just like listening to him talking about feminine hygiene products means nothing.
So wait, I'm interested in feminine hygiene products.
Anyway, que sera, sera, as they say.
Okay, so the receive side works, but can you transmit?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can, because I was being girlish about it. I was only transmitting with 50 watts, and I was getting some decent reports. Oh, from, let's see, zone 14, 15, 11, 8. So, I'm happy.
I fell asleep. Is it my turn? Mr. VPN.
Are we running for N2EB tomorrow?
N2PP, he's N2EB and he's proud to approve that message.
I understand he wants to put a NOSH on every frequency.
This is the TN2NCD on CM audio.
And a NOSHin.
Thank
you. And a NOSHin.
And a NOSHin on, Vinny.
NOSHin on my coffee. My signal any better?
You and your signal are the same.
Maybe you should turn around and spend $1,100 so you can get a better signal.
That I didn't know. I did go to the flea market, though.
And handicap accessible?
He's walking on his crutches with his white booty.
That was rude.
Just felt right at home with all the other invalids and cripples.
Did they have a special lane for you guys? Now he sounds like he's in his car.
Oh my goodness. Harry, John, take turns. You're like
quiet.
Incipient.
I'm in the bowels of Brooklyn here. I can't.